If you have your Bibles this morning, I would ask you please to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 32. Something caught my eye last week and the Lord reminded me of it yesterday and took me back to it and began to develop it in my heart and in my mind. If you're found your place, Isaiah 32, if you would stand with me just briefly for the reading of the Word of God, and if you're not able to, that's fine. But in chapter 32 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Verse 2, I'm going to start in verse 1 this morning, but verse 2 was really what stirred my heart toward this text. The Bible said, "And a man, shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest." Again, this is all making reference to a man. "As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." I want to say before we be seated and pray this morning, I'm glad I know that man. I'm glad I know who he is. As the lady sang, I'm glad he knows who we are. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus this morning to illuminate our hearts, our minds, both that we might be able to preach the Word of God, and that, Lord, we might be able to receive the Word of God. I pray, Lord, this morning that each one that's come through the doors of this church would treat this meeting as if it might be the last meeting they'd ever get to sit in. Truly, Lord, it might be. Lord, we none know when you're coming. None of us know when we're leaving. But Lord, we do know that one day we'll leave. We do know, Lord, that one day you'll come. And Lord, the old preacher, Brother Herman Anderson, used to say, whether it's by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. Lord, I pray this Jesus, as Brother Steve put up in the slides, this same Jesus, this one that's the same yesterday and today and forever, would be magnified in this service this morning. Lord, it really doesn't matter if anybody sees me, if someone could just see him. Lord, I pray this morning you'd continue to help us as a church. It's so wonderful, Father, to see so many, Lord, that are able now to get back to the house of God. Lord, we're living in a day of tremendous uncertainty. Lord, there's just so much uncertainty in our land right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be overwhelmed by that which is uncertain, but help us to be overcome by that that is certain, and to concentrate on those things in our lives. God will give you glory, for we ask it in the name above all others, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Luke, I'm glad you made it, buddy. Amen. Amen. That's one of these days I'll have to get out there and watch you do that golf swing. Amen. I think anybody that's flexible could pose like that. I don't even think I could pose like that, amen. Something would break, Brother Steve. I don't twist like that anymore. I appreciate Luke. Appreciate all of our young people, Gabriel, and those that have graduated. And many times they're at a crossroads in their lives. And all I can tell you is go with God. If you'll go with Him, you'll be glad you did when you come to the end of the way. Looking at this man and a man, that might be the title of the sermon, a man and a man shall be. I'd like to begin to magnify the text and ask you to pray for me. And I pray that in this service we can make much of this man. I remember a preacher saying years ago, God will make much of a church that will make much of Jesus. God loves His Son, and God loves His church. Amen. This morning, I want to just give you a little bit by way of introduction, and I do mean a little bit. When you're talking about a man, this man, give you three things, Hurley, he's the miracle man. The Bible said, but the men marveled, this is when they were in the storm, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I don't know if you've thought about it much, but the next thing I wanted to bring to your attention is he's a marred man. He's hanging on Calvary. Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, behold the man. You know what I believe this generation needs? I don't believe they need another hero. I believe they need Christ. I don't believe they need to just switch heroes on the earth, but they need to look to heaven. And they need the Lord in their heart and in their life. He's a miracle man. Can you imagine standing at Calvary and seeing Jesus bleeding? His hands are bleeding. His feet is bleeding. His back is bleeding. All of his joints are out of place. His bones are staring at him. His eyes are black and blue. His beard is plucked. There's spittle running down his face. There's a crown of thorns on his. Can you imagine standing there looking at the marred man? The Bible said in Isaiah, I believe it was the latter part of chapter 52, his visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. But could you imagine standing there thinking, this is the one that healed the leper. This is the one that calmed the storm. This is the one that took five fishes, 12 loaves and five fishes and just began to break them and bless them and feed 5,000 people. This is the one. This is the one. You got John standing there and Peter, he's afar off. But this is the one that was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the one, beloved, listen, that raised Lazarus from the dead. And yet he's hanging there, marred. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? The Bible said here, behold the man. What manner of man is this? He's a marred man. He's the miracle man. But let me give you this. This is just as important. Just a little introduction before we go to Isaiah. He's the mediating man or the mediator man. The Word of God said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This same man is the one we're reading about in the book of Isaiah. The man that would be a hiding place, the man that would be the king, the man that would be a covert from the tempest, the man that would be as a river in a dry place, the man that would be as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This man is Christ Jesus, the Lord. The Word of God teaches us, beloved, it's kind of a little bit, I have to actually think about it at times, or I get my words twisted up. It's not original with me. I heard it years ago, but the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Isn't that a blessing? He was willing to come down here for time so that we could go up there for eternity. That's a blessing to me, to know that He was willing to take my place on the cross of Calvary, and to take your place. We'll look at this man being a king this morning. I believe that the Word of God, if you're speaking directly, Brother Steve is speaking of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. The Word of God said in 2 Kings 18:1, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did." I believe Isaiah is speaking, if you're talking about directly, in a reference to Hezekiah the king. But if you're talking about prophetically, I'm telling you, Hezekiah was a good man. Hezekiah was God's man. But Hezekiah was just like you and just like me in that he was not the perfect man. He was not the sinless man. He was not the man that would be the Savior of the world, of all mankind. That man is Jesus. And I believe that God is looking into the future in verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 32 and exposing this man that's a king. I'll give you this morning. I don't know how far we'll get, but I didn't say this man was a king. I didn't say this man will be a king. I said this man is a king. You say, "Pastor, why do you emphasize that?" Because some people don't know it yet. But I promise you that he is on his throne and he is a king today. I'll promise you something else. I'll get into it a little bit later on. One day, every individual is going to bow before that king. Everyone's going to know. Right now, Israel, the blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But even on that day, beloved, Israel will realize he is the king of the Jews. And he is the king of glory. Beloved, it speaks of this man's authority. Let me give you something this morning. I'm not going to say a lot about it. But the problems, many of the problems that we're having in our land, many of the problems that we're having in our homes. And I will say this, beloved, many of the problems that you'll have in a church will come as a result of a lack of respect for the authority that God has put in place on the earth. You believe that? Amen? I'll tell you what, I'd like for you to meet my dad if you think a police officer's a pig. It won't take him long to change your mind. It didn't take him long. I had some mean first cousins and they said they're pigs. That's what you're supposed to call them, pigs. We were coming home from vacation and saw a police officer and I said, "Dad, there's one of them pigs." Guess what? I never did say that again. Amen. I told the men in prison year after year after year, meeting after meeting, many of you are where you are because you did not respect the authority that God put in your life. You didn't respect the father. Many of them didn't have one. You didn't respect your mother. You didn't respect your teacher. You didn't respect the principal. You didn't respect the pastor. You don't respect the police officer. You didn't respect the judge. And now you don't respect the guards in the prison house. And it's a problem. It's a problem. Beloved, I believe with all my heart we're sitting on a tinderbox. And I believe it would help everybody in America to realize there's a boss, but you can't see him. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming. And every man, woman, boy, and girl will answer to him. You say, "Preacher, that it was dark. The cameras couldn't pick it up." I'll tell you, there's nothing that he didn't pick up with his eye. He knows all. This man is the king. It speaks of his authority. I believe with all of my heart in 1 Peter chapter 2, let me give you a text. The Bible said, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I believe Isaiah knew that the problems of the day were because of a lack of respect for the authority that God had put in their lives. Beloved, I want you to know this. I don't know what's going to happen. I thank God that there was some talk about setting up a city inside of a city in Nashville, and so far it's been put down. I'll say this. I'll say it publicly. I'll say it twice if you don't hear it the first time. It needs to be put down. They're already in Seattle fighting one another. Amen? They're already trying to develop that hierarchy. Listen, I don't know where common sense is anymore, but cut the water off. Cut the electricity off. Cut the food off. And they'll kill one another and we won't have to worry about it. You say, Pastor, I don't know where that is in the text. I do. I'm looking to another king. I'm looking beyond the governor. I'm looking beyond the president. I'm looking beyond the House of Representatives. I'm looking beyond the Senate. And it makes me want to do right, not because I'm going to have to stand before a judge down here, but because I'm going to have to stand before a judge over there. A judge that can't be tricked. A judge that's got some common sense. Beloved, the Bible said this judge, Isaiah sees him. He's a king. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the word of God said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. If you believe that, say amen. If he's wonderful to you, say amen. Counselor, have you ever needed to know which way to go? And he showed you. The word of God said, he's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. There's a lot being said about justice, but I want you to know the Just One is coming and justice will prevail when he does. Beloved, listen. The Word of God tells us here, with judgment, he's going to establish it, justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Word of God teaches us, beloved, that even the creation is looking forward to that day when the King will come. You can read in Isaiah 55, the Bible said the trees of the field will clap their hands. They're going to rejoice when they say, he's here! This mess is over! And he's here. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Beloved, listen, he's a king. I didn't say he was, I didn't say he will be. I'll tell you this, before he was ever born, he was a king. Hallelujah. That's why, beloved, Brother Steve, that verse can say Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Oh, listen, if your Jesus starts in a manger in Bethlehem, you ain't got the right one. Honey, he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's God. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I believe with all of my heart that this same Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus we're going to give an account to. Revelation 19:11 said, I saw heaven opened. Listen to this. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Beloved, I hope it don't come to it. But it might get a lot bloodier than it is right now in America. I'm telling you, lawlessness and law cannot coexist. One or the other has to give. You can't have them both. Beloved, listen. It's important that God's people pray. It's important that we realize that there's a king above the anarchy. There's a king above mankind, above his creation. The word of God said here, he called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His vesture was clothed. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I'll tell you who doesn't like a ruler, the lawless. The law is not a terror to the man or the woman, the boy or the girl that wants to do right. But the law is a terror to those that are lawless, to those who are criminals. Beloved, if you want to hear a silly idea, here it is. We don't need police in America anymore. We don't need regulations and rules and laws anymore. Beloved, that is silly. We cannot make it like that. We cannot make it like that. The Bible said, listen to me carefully. God gave instruction to the church of Corinth through the Apostle Paul. He said, let all your things be done decently and in order. God is a God of order. And God is a God, beloved, of decency. I don't believe you need to even show a man what's decent. Down here he knows what's decent and what's not decent. The Bible said the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. He'll smite the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You say, Pastor, I don't believe we ought to take up arms. I don't believe we ought to enforce the law. Beloved, I tell you, there's one coming. I just read to you. He's not going to suggest it. He's going to demand it. And he's going to see that it's carried out for righteousness' sake. The blood will run as deep as a horse's bridle. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. We've raised a generation of cowards. Men have shed their blood so I can stand here and preach this book. Men have given their lives. Many men wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, reliving what they've been through, fighting for this country. And yet, there's some that want to trample that flag. Yesterday, somebody was beat up for just carrying that flag. I tell you, the king is being revealed in the book. And the king has authority. And the king will carry it out. Whether this generation likes it or not, he will carry it out. The word of God said, and on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Here it comes, Brother Steve, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I tell you, beloved, listen, there are going to be many in that day. You know what's going to happen, Brother Preston? They're going to say, we wish we'd have listened to that pastor. We wish we'd have met the king before now, because now it's too late. Now it's too late. Jesus can be your Savior today, or he can be your judge tomorrow. He wants to be your Savior. You say, Pastor, you can't say that. Yes, I can. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward,
You say, preacher, I don't know why the king don't just go ahead and come. I'll tell you why. The bride's not complete. He's still being long-suffering to somebody. He's still extending that invitation. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll save your soul. I'll give you a purpose in life. I'll give you something to do besides throw a brick through a storefront and paint graffiti on a wall. I'll give you something to live for. I think I mentioned it Wednesday night. Weren't quite as many people here Wednesday night. But several years ago, I saw on the news, you see some bad things on the news. Every once in a while, you see something good. This lady, and I'm just telling you because it's the truth, there's not a racist bone in my body. If God filled this church up halfway with black people, it wouldn't bother me one bit. They'll shout louder than y'all do. But let me tell you something. This lady got her son. Her son was going to go across the street and get into it with some mess that was going on. She walked over and got him by the ear and twisted that ear and walked him back across the street and said, you ain't getting in that mess, boy. You say, preacher, you like that? I love it. We need some mamas that'll get a hold of that ear. Some daddies that'll get a hold of that backside. Amen. We don't need to turn them over to this wicked world that we live in. We need God more than all of that to get a hold of their heart and show them how much He loves them, how much He cares for them. The Word of God teaches, beloved, listen, He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You say, preacher, what am I going to say? Here's what I tell you the Word of God teaches. In Philippians 2:8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, listen, I'm trying to exalt him this morning, but I'm late, Brother Steve. God's already exalted him. God has already given him a name that's above every name. The Word of God said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. What are they going to confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Beloved, listen. There's a Bible, there's a text over there. I believe it's in the book of Matthew. I might be wrong about that, but I know it's in the Gospels. Jesus said this, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Beloved, really, when you look at the word Lord, it's talking about a master. We made mention of it on Wednesday night, how that Paul was a bond slave, how that he was willingly a slave to his Savior, how that in the Old Testament there was an opportunity for a slave. If he did not want to leave in that year of Jubilee, if he did not want to go out on his own, he could say, I love my master. And I want to spend the rest of my life with my master. They'd put his ear up against the door and bore a hole in his ear. And everybody that saw him knew that he was going to be with that master for the rest of his life. I'll tell you, February the 22nd, 1987, I changed masters. I got a master now that don't lie to me. I got a master now that loves me. I got a master now, listen, hallelujah, that changed me for the right and not for the wrong. Hallelujah. I've got a master that's coming. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. Not everyone that saith to me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. The Word of God said there's going to be many in that day. They're going to say, Lord, I may not get this exactly right, but I'll get close. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? And he will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe the only thing that's worse than being lost and knowing you're lost is being lost and thinking that somewhere or another, because you're a good church member, or you put money in the offering, or you've been baptized 40 times, you read your Bible through every year. I'm going to tell you something right now. Good, all those things are good, but none of those things will take the place of the blood of Jesus being applied in your life. The Word of God, when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when I see your offering, or when I see, beloved, your Bible, or when I see, my friend, how you're dressed, or when I see if you've been to the synagogue, but when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I don't know about you. I like the song the lady sang it a little while back. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Beloved, the Word of God is teaching us here that this King, this same one, this one that's called Jesus, is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And He's coming. He's coming. I look at these. I think about yesterday we saw your Olivia, Amelia, and Ava. They were all there at one time. There's only so much room on Papaw's lap. But I'm writing a new song. There's room on Papaw's lap for you. There's room on Papaw's lap for you. I'll tell you how they are. They make room. I looked at the little baby's picture this morning, Brother Arnold and Sister Kathy's little grandson. And I know they're so happy. And I believe with all my heart, those children will be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I look back here at Brother Aaron's family, Miss Amanda's family. What I'm about to say is true. It'd be better, Brother Preston, you got two beautiful babies. Sister Miriam's got three. One of them ain't too beautiful, but she got three babies. I tell everybody that I have four children and my wife has five. You'll get that after a while, maybe, if you can do math. But it'd be better they never been born than to have to hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I'd ask you a question this morning. Many times the question is asked like this, and I won't fuss about it. Many times the question is asked, "Do you know Jesus?" Let me ask it like this. Does He know you? Does He know you? I think of the song Sister Jennifer Hannah sings, "He knows my name." And He does. When I brushed my hair this morning, and one of them fell out, He changed the number. He knows how many hairs are in my head. He knows the thoughts. If this don't create a fear in you, I don't know what will. The thoughts, Brother Mike, and the intents of my heart. Beloved friend, He's the King. The Word of God said over there in the book of John, let me give you this and I'm done. The Bible said here in the book of John, chapter number 19, verse number 5, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto Him, Behold the man." Watch this now. Over here, let me see if I can find it. In verse number 14, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. I want to ask you something. When he comes, is he going to be your king? Amen. David said, The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say this morning, He's my king? Miss Eve, is the preacher's name S.M. Lockridge? Does anybody know? He's a black preacher that did it was a YouTube video. Is that right, Brother Mike? He's my king. It's worth looking up, ain't it, brother? He's my king. You ought to look it up. I believe I'm right. I believe it's S.M. Lockridge. Just type that in a Google search, He's my king, and watch that video. And I pray one of two things will happen. Either you'll shout or you'll get saved. Because He's my king this morning. And He's coming. Let's bow for prayer.